The following show contains explicit content.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus, a podcast about things and stuff.
Brought this bed back.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Interesting.
Yeah, I felt like changing things up again.
Felt nostalgic.
Yeah. Back to 14 episodes ago, or rather, I guess 13 episodes ago.
Ah.
Back to episode one of Chatty Want This One. This was our original bed. Kangaroo Court by Capital Cities. Episode 14 of Chatty Wampus. Jack and Nicole.
Welcome.
Jack running the board this week.
Let's see. Let's see if he can do any better.
Let's see if the power goes out in the middle of the show again.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah.
I rather enjoyed that.
If you skipped episode 13, the...
Fuck you.
Yes, fuck you. Kate was here, which is cool.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time we've had someone who's actually a regular part of Talk Radio Meltdown on Chatty Wampus with us. I don't think Red or Mike has ever been on Chatty Wampus before.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In the 14 episode history of the show.
Yes, very, very long history, long and rich.
Yeah, that's 14 weeks, man. That's what, like...
That actually, yeah, when you put it in that perspective.
Well, we've been doing a show since the beginning of March, so that's about 3 months.
Wow.
And I believe the first show was in March, so...
And it feels like it just started, at least for me.
I mean, it's going by quick. I mean, I think we've taken a couple weeks off, and we've kind of scrounged around, so give or take, it's been about 14 weeks.
That's cool, though.
But yeah, episode 13 was good. Kate was here. Power went out. But that was
Nicole was blamed.
That was the second time Nicole ran the board for the show and everything. And one thing I learned in working in radio is if you're in control, everything's your fault. When I was freaking running the board for the morning show, if something happened that was beyond my control,
it was still your fault.
It was my fault. I remember they were doing a live broadcast somewhere at some one of the various bars out by Fenway Park. And Red and I, during these things, had to stay back in the studio and run the ship from there. Red was usually the one that ran the board. And I remember one day the ISDN line, which is basically what connects the on-location broadcast to the radio studio.
Okay.
Got severed. Which
oh,
is
no.
bad, but only one part of it got severed because you could still hear them from the bar on the air, but they couldn't hear Red or they couldn't hear us in the studio, and there was just this disruption, and it was Red's fault somehow.
Okay, well, I mean, if it's Red, I'd naturally want to blame him as well, so I don't really disagree with that.
Yeah, but at the same time, he genuinely didn't do anything. He got torn apart by about six different people and I was sticking up for him, and then they turned on me, and it was like, all right, you know what? I'm getting
fuck
out of
you,
this,
Red.
I'm getting out of this conversation. It was all Red's fault. But it was unfortunate. But yeah, basically, when you're in control, everything is your fault. But it wasn't your fault, Nicole, that the power went out last week. It wasn't
I'll
your
assume
fault
blame
you
for the
to.
Fact that the power had a surge.
Yeah. I mean, it's hot. Everyone's running their air conditioners.
It was
a brownout because it lasted about two. It was just.
It was immediate.
Yeah. Everything came back on the second it went out. It wasn't like someone hitting a telephone pole or something, but it still sucks. But what's awesome is that we had the entire recording preserved.
Yes, so. I was going to say, what did you learn?
I learned that Audacity has improved in the last almost 10 years I've been using it now. I've been using this since 2006, and it's been, it's definitely, I think that was around the time that it started. And it's definitely improved a lot, and I'm amazed at... I mean, granted, that was only 10 minutes of audio that it preserved, but it preserved a lot. And it
was the start of the show.
Yeah, we didn't have to start over. That's the most important thing. We didn't have to start over or anything. So the other thing about tonight's show is that if you're listening to us on More Like Radio, it's Saturday, June 21st, and Nicole and I are currently in City Hall Plaza in Boston.
Woo!
Enjoying the Gaslight Anthem and Mighty Mighty Boss Tones while you're listening to us here. So we pre-recorded this show.
Yes, we're not live.
The time we're recording right now is 7:26 p.m. on June 18th, Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. Yep. Now, as far as the concert goes, because my boss told me he was recently in Boston. What, it's like a barbecue kind of deal?
It is the Phantom Gourmet barbecue something or other. I don't remember.
I can go and like get a hot dog and shit?
I think so, yeah. Barbecue beach party, I believe.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, barbecue beach party. Because I know Salt...
I love barbecue.
Yeah, they're doing like a different... there's like a different thing going on every night. I know Friday, Salt and Peppa is playing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember hearing about that. Yeah. Okay, that's part of it. Okay.
Yeah, and then Gaslight and the Boston's are the following night. But this is in collaboration with the Boston's doing their birthday bash for Dickie Barrett. They do a big concert every year for his birthday, so this is it for this year. They're doing it with the Phantom Gourmet guys. It's gonna be at City Hall Plaza. I suggest you go if you live in the area.
Ooh, also,
or rather, go on Sunday because it's Saturday right now. What we're doing is already going on, but they're doing it Sunday too.
Yeah, I'm gonna need the ticket.
Yeah, I got it.
Because I think I want to go out for the day, like take Riverside out.
That's what Kate and I are doing, but I got work.
When are you working till?
I'm probably going to see if I can bounce at 5 or 5:30, but I didn't take this weekend off.
Noob.
So Saturday / tonight, we're at this concert in Boston, and then on the 22nd, which is Sunday.
Which is tomorrow.
Yes. my friend Bianca and I are going to the Monument Tour at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield, which is Paramore and Fall Out Boy.
Oh.
And that's basically fueling my inner 17-year-old, because I've always wanted to see Paramore since, like, they got started in 2005. I've always wanted to see this band, and I don't like Paramore now, but...
I don't like them either, no, I was gonna say.
They sold out. That's the thing. It's not Paramore anymore. It's Hayley Williams and friends.
And co.
Yeah, I guess it's always been Hayley Williams' solo project, and the band has basically just been hired guns, or at least that's what the two guys that were kicked, not kicked out of the band, but left, whatever happened with that band, the Farrell Brothers. When they left, they claimed, they made these claims that Hayley Williams, I guess, is the only person in that band signed to a record label, and everyone else is just the product of a record label band.
Okay.
And it's just like, because I guess the story goes, Hayley Williams wanted to, or the record label, I think it's Atlantic Records.
I think you're right.
Atlantic Records. They wanted her to be like a Taylor Swift-ish artist, and she said, no, I want to be in a band with people. So they agreed to
that. No, I
want to
have pink hair.
Exactly. It's more like red. It's like fiery red.
It's whatever the fuck it is.
It's not the trademark red anymore. It's like a multitude of colors at this point. But,
oops.
I spill salt all over the place.
I'm currently using a salt grinder, too, so if anyone's hearing like a in the background, I'm eating a hard-boiled egg.
We've also got a cat that just decided that he's the boss and just went up to the couch that's right next to Nicole and just started using it as a scratching post.
We need to put tape on that, too.
Yeah, this cat walks around and starts scratching everything up, and every single thing I see that has claw marks on it. Now, the couch is mine, so I don't really care. But
I care. I feel like a dick. My cat's being a jerk.
I care about the walls and everything. The doorway is getting scratched up, especially the one going to your bedroom that is missing all the paint now and is going to need serious repairs done to it. But I just look at all these things. I take a tally. I'm like, okay, what am I putting sticky paws on next?
Yeah. They work pretty great, though. I haven't seen him near my door.
Yeah, the one that he was scratching, he stopped doing it. And it's just covered in cat hair now because he keeps rubbing up against it and forgetting there's double-sided tape there.
Half of that is me, too, because I'm like, oh, there's tape on this thing.
Yeah. If you're new to cats, get sticky paws because it will deter cats from scratching shit. So
most definitely. Yeah.
So anyway, Paramore sucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to go see them.
I'm going to go see them because I want to be able at least to say I saw them, and I'm sure they'll play a good selection of their older stuff, which won't be too bad. So Fall Out Boy puts out a good show, too.
I'm totally forgetting the fucking band name, but I got the email today about the tickets that are going to go on sale on Friday. And it's the people who do...
you're humming
come
the mic
on.
Didn't pick it up.
Oh, no?
No.
I had to say what? The words in my mind. People Come On is the song. Who is that by? I love that band. I'm a wandering soul. I got no place of my own.
Delta Spirit?
Yes, they're gonna be in. They're gonna be at Paradise.
Nice.
I want to go see them.
I think I only know maybe like one or two songs by Delta
Spirit. Me too,
Spirit.
But I love that one song enough.
They've been trying to save money now, so I can't go out and splurge on concert tickets every time a great show gets announced. Gaslight Anthem is playing two shows in Boston in September.
Yeah.
Against Me is opening for them, so I absolutely have to go to both of these fucking shows.
Oh, jeez.
Despite the fact that I'm already seeing Gaslight tonight, I guess, and Against Me is playing a show down in Pawtucket, Rhode Island at the Met, which is like this little hole-in-the-wall place.
I love that place. I love it. It's so weird. It's in this industrial looking place. You know, you kind of like go in this sketchy way and then you're in a bar. And the one thing I remember from that place, because I went to go see Pity Sex there. And there was this opening guy who was such a fucking douche. And he was like, oh, you know, I like to go to towns and make fun of the town and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Like, that wasn't douchey, but just everything about him was douchey.
Was he a band or a comedian?
It wasn't the guy from Pity Sex. It was someone from the opening bit. Yeah, he was. I don't know who the fuck he was, but he thought he was hot shit.
Yeah.
Regardless.
At least he's straying away from the whole when bands come out and they're like, I love being in Boston. Boston's such a good city. You can definitely tell when they're like, they say that to every, like, guys, seriously, this is the best show we've played on the entire tour. I'm like, I'm sure you said that.
I still get that, though. When we saw Arctic Monkeys and he was like, Boston, like, whenever he'd mentioned Boston, I was like, I can relate to this. I am in Boston right now. I was like, woo!
It feels out of place when you're in a different city and they do that. Like,
they said Vancouver.
Actually,
like, we're in Boston.
I'm pretty sure, because again, we're recording the show on the 18th. I'm pretty sure June 19th was the day that Jackie and I trekked all around New York and Connecticut for Say Anything and Isley. And that was in New Haven, Connecticut. And they were all, both bands were just like, it's great being in New Haven, blah, blah, blah. And every single time they said it, I'd be like, New Haven?
Where am I?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, right. I'm not in, I'm not in Massachusetts. Kate and I went into Long Island. In October, last October, to go see Finch, and they were doing the whole, it's like, oh, it's great being here in Huntington. And I'm like, what the fuck is Huntington? Oh, right.
Where I am right now.
Like, I drove around New York City to Long Island to go to a show. I forgot where I was for a moment. but I do respect bands that will pull that shtick, but then actually show genuine evidence of their admiration for the city. I saw New Order last summer, and I guess they hate touring North America. This is a band that's like broken up a few times.
Really?
And they very rarely ever tour America when they are together. And they did this East Coast tour. And I remember the only good thing that came out of the day of the marathon bombings was the fact that New Order had announced their tour. I'm like, oh, this is the worst day ever.
But New Order announced Silver Linings.
Exactly. So they mentioned something about, Bernard Sumner said the Duck Tour was the best thing he's ever done, and he wants to do it again. And I'm like, you know, okay, cool. Now you're actually saying stuff about the city that people are going to understand.
Yes. And I mean, and they could even do it, they could even say those things without having ever done them. Just, if you do a quick Google search of where you are, you're like, oh, okay, this is here. I'll mention this, and people will go nuts.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Yeah. I saw Soundgarden, I think it was pretty much a month to the day after the marathon bombings, and at one point Chris Cornell was talking. Now, granted, this was at the Palladium in Worcester. It wasn't Boston, but he was still, they count, they count Worcester as being part of Boston. You think of Massachusetts.
Which I think is so weird.
People do that. People do that, though, because every state has a city that people associate with it, regardless of whether or not it's the capital. Everyone associates New York City with New York, despite the fact that Albany is the capital. You think about, oh, New York? Okay, you're going to New York City, you know? They talk about, like, California. They think of Los Angeles. You never think Sacramento.
That's a good point.
Think of Boston. You don't think of Springfield. You don't think of Worcester. You don't think of New Bedford. You don't even think of, like, Hudson. I say I live in Hudson, Massachusetts. People would be like, what the fuck is that?
I didn't know what Hudson was until, like, a year ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I was born and raised in this state.
Yeah, so it's easier for us as a show to say we're from Boston because people overseas... All the people listening to the show overseas know where Boston is.
That one person?
Yeah. Yeah, they know of Boston. So, Chris Cornell mentioned something about the marathon bombings and how, like, awesome the response from the city was, especially during Manhattan and everything. And that, of course, the crowd was absolutely insane during that. But that was when you can genuinely see the band was actually happy to be in this particular city, and the things that they were saying to the crowd was legit because it's like, okay, you just mentioned something topical and in this case, heartfelt.
Exactly. Relevant, still in our minds. Speaking of Boston bombing, I read an article today about how the I can never pronounce his name. Sarnev.
You know what I call him? I just call him Douchey the other bomber. McGee. I call him the guy that lived because it's like freaking. They did this with Bin Laden too, and no one knew how to spell Bin Laden's name, so it was always Usama, Usama.
Yeah.
It was never correct. And this guy, it's the spelling's always right, but no one can ever pronounce it correctly.
I can't pronounce it.
I think it's Jokar. Somehow,
it's
I don't know what the J is.
I'm like, what the fuck do you do with a D and a Z together?
Yeah, because
like,
I listen to WBZ News Radio in the mornings on the,
oh,
on the
so
way to work.
Oh, so they've said it.
They say it, but they never say it. There's always two rotating anchors that never say it correctly.
So it's always different every time. It's like Lupita Nyong'o.
They say Jokar.
Jokar?
Jokar Sarnev.
Well, Joker.
Sarnev or
Sarnev. Boston bomber Joker.
The guy that lived.
Joker.
Yeah.
His lawyers are requesting that his upcoming trial be moved. Like, the location.
To where?
To somewhere else. Not in Massachusetts.
There a reason because why they don't want to do it here? Is it just like hitting too close to home or?
That's the thing. They don't feel like there's going to be a fair trial because of the fact that the trial is going to take place in the place where the events took place.
Yeah. Plus Washington, D.C. too. That's probably the most secure place you can move someone like this for a trial.
Is that where he's having his trial? That's where they want it.
I just saw that right here.
That's where they want
Washington,
it. Okay.
D.C. November 3rd is the day of the trial.
Yes. Now, I wanted to know what you thought about it, because I know that you were really involved, not so much involved, but you were really mentally invested in the whole bombing thing. It didn't really affect me at all. It was a weird and shitty thing that happened, but it seems to have like resonated a lot more with you than it did with me. So I was kind of curious as to what your thought behind this would be.
You know, honestly, the jerk inside of me just thinks it's a waste of time. You know, it's like, it's very clear that this guy is responsible for what happened.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Because nobody read him his Miranda rights when he was in the hospital, and he thus admitted to doing everything. Plus, there's the account of the guy that they carjacked at the start of the Watertown fiasco. That said, both those guys admitted that they were the bombers. So it's already been done. And of course, now the big dispute is because the Miranda rights weren't read to him. They don't know if they can actually hold his claims now, especially now he's going to court.
Yeah.
I think it's a waste of time, but at the same time, it's Boston, and I guess there's always going to be that fear there might be some person that's going to try to pull like a Jack Ruby and approach the dude and try to take him out and do some sort of like civil justice.
True.
But Washington, D.C., in my opinion, I think it's a fairly secured area.
Absolutely.
So it might be, maybe it's just sort of like their way of going, America, we're going to do this in Washington. Justice. Court system.
Yeah.
But I think it's just do the trial. Tell the guy that he's getting put on death row and just leave it at that.
I mean, I don't think the location is going to give you a different result.
No, it's
not. Really don't.
No,
with something that was that big, that's terrorism.
Yeah.
What is our country currently like forever at war against?
Yeah.
You know, that is a national thing. Even if you go to fucking Alaska, people are going to be like, all right, what is the deal?
Do you think it's like a favoritism thing almost? It's just because if they do it in Boston, they fear that like a grand jury might, a grand jury comprised solely of people from this state might be more prone to just saying he's guilty, kill him, throw him in jail.
That's what I think the concern is, where they wouldn't give him, where I think the lawyers are thinking that he wouldn't be getting a fair trial. But I think regardless, it's going to be a fair trial.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, in my eyes, he's fucking guilty.
Yeah.
And he's going to get what's coming to him.
Yeah. I'm glancing at this USA Today article, and it does say here that I'm just going to call him Boat because they found him in a boat because I can't fucking pronounce his name. Boat's attorneys said here they had a 10-page motion in regards to wanting boat moved to boat's trial moved to Washington. He said a presumption of prejudice will only arise in extreme cases, but this is such a case. So
this is such an extreme case as it is.
Yeah, this is like one of the worst things that's happened on American soil since 9/11.
Exactly.
In regards to terrorism.
Everyone knows about it. Doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
You know that this happened. Yeah. You know this name.
See, I didn't even read this article before you brought that up, and it looks like basically what they're saying here is in pretty much coincides with what I just said. Attorneys said they had enlisted an expert to survey public opinion in four cities, Boston, Springfield, Massachusetts, New York City, and Washington. Respondents were asked a series of questions, including whether they believed Boat was definitely guilty, probably not guilty, or definitely not guilty. In Boston, 58% said they believe Boat was definitely guilty.
That's it.
Yep, as did 52% in Springfield, as opposed to 48% in Manhattan and 37% in Washington. 58%?
Is that really that big of a difference?
Yeah, but 58%, that's more than half. That's all they need. Even 52, that's above, that's more than half. That's technically more than half.
Why does that... Those percentages go completely against what my thought was, that no matter where you go, it's going to be the same verdict.
Yeah, no, that...
How the hell does that percentage drop when you go to D.C.?
Yeah, well, it's because they weren't affected by it, that's why.
The country was affected by it.
The country was affected by it, but, like... It just happened in... 9/11 was spread out over two cities, okay? Let's think about 9/11.
That's true.
9/11 was New York City... theoretically, if you want to count Boston in here, because all the planes originated from Boston. So we got Boston, we got New York City, we got the town in Pennsylvania,
yep,
where 93 crashed, and then Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So that's two major locations impacted, and I guess if you want to count the point of origin and where 93 crashed, four total. So that's spread out. That's pretty much a good portion of the Northeast right there. So that's really going to involve a good chunk of the country. The marathon bombings, that was just Boston. It was national news. It was worldwide news. It certainly affected the country as a whole because, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was the biggest act of terrorism to happen since 9/11.
Absolutely.
I can't really think. I mean, there's been school shootings and stuff, but I can't really think of...
Well, I mean, there was the London stuff, but as far as, like, in America...
Yeah, I'm thinking about it in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because, and it's what I said earlier, it's because it's Boston, it's a localized thing, and people always bring up and almost sort of joke about the fact that the way the city of Boston, the population, basically people in Massachusetts, the way we reacted to the bombings, and then the way we reacted to, like, the manhunt and everything, that speaks a lot about the character of the people from this city, but that's why... I can see why they want to move this, because it was such an extreme reaction to that. That everyone in Massachusetts, if you say, if you question putting this guy on trial and think he's guilty or not, everyone's going to say he's guilty.
Now, here's a thought. Aren't you supposed to be judged by a group of your peers?
Yes.
Wouldn't your peers be in the place that you did your shit, where he was living? Where that shit happened?
Yeah. I think, you know, they should get for a jury if they did this in Massachusetts. And this probably sounds really stupid, but get the bombing victims. Put them on a trial. The people that made the news because they were victims. Like, put Jeff Bauman in there. I know there's, like, been a couple women that, like, that lost their legs. Like, basically anyone that has, like, one of those Facebook, like, official Facebook pages because they were in the hospital for X amount of time. The cop that I met at the Blood for Boston event, Dick Donahue, put him on trial. I don't think you can because he's a cop. I don't know how that works. But put those victims on trial and see what they think, especially considering Jeff Bauman was able to finger Boat and his brother while he was lying in a hospital all drugged up.
Yeah.
Like, to have that coherency in memory, you can't take that back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
So, but at the same time, though, I guess that kind of...
It would be a harsh sentencing, but...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm local, but I believe it should be harsh. And I don't even know why he still hasn't had his fucking trial shit done. It's like, yeah. What is there to discover? What's left over?
He should just be shot and put down. Seriously. I mean, his brother, you think about it, is cryptic.
He got it easy.
Yeah, it's cryptic, but his brother doesn't have to worry about this shit. And unfortunately, this guy, we have to waste our time and our tax money with it and stuff, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And anything that's anyone that's emotionally attached to the thing, you know, this matter can't be put to rest yet because this trial still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when can we fucking put this behind us?
Yeah. Like, I don't invest myself too much in, like, politics and stuff or even, like, the judicial system. And if I see, like, big things in news about these big cases against people, like, I tend to shy away from them. But it's like, do you remember, like, the case with Zacharias Moussaoui?
No.
He's considered the, what number hijacker do they consider him? He was put on trial. I guess he's like, one of the only people of that pool of, the guys that hijacked all the planes on 9/11. I guess he's like the one guy in that pool that, I guess was supposed to, but didn't.
Oh.
And he was put on trial. He's considered to be one of the, he's considered to be one of the hijackers, but they just had this big trial and all these things, this big proceedings for him and everything. And it's like,
when?
Years ago.
Oh, I was like, recently?
It's like within the last, like, 5 years. But like I said, I don't know too much about it. I just know that he was on trial for a long time, and they considered him to be part of the group of hijackers because he was in Al-Qaeda and he was conspiring with them. And I mean, he's still alive. He's on a life
really?
Sentence now. Yeah. He's serving in the Supermax prison where... pretty sure a boat's gonna go if they convict him, which he's going to be convicted. I mean, no one.
Oh, yeah.
No, there will be an uproar if that guy gets found not guilty.
Exactly.
Of his
crimes. There could potentially be riots. Riots happen because of fucking silly ass what you would call them verdicts.
Yeah.
So.
Well, think of the Los Angeles riots. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was referencing. Yeah,
that was all friggin' race related, though. It was all fueled by race issues, racism, all that shit.
Yeah, this is just racism in another form. Look at how anti-Muslim we are now because of this shit.
Yeah,
but can I bring the room down a little bit more?
Jeez, yeah, go ahead.
I read another article today. I'm just skimming it now. Republican Maine State Representative Lawrence Lockman. Can I read you a quote?
Sure.
Alrighty. Let me find it. Okay, here it is. If a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death. Are you fucking kidding me? Then again, this guy also once implied that HIV can be spread through mosquitoes and bed sheets.
Yeah, okay.
So
this guy's one of those pro-life nut jobs.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I can almost, if I am gonna play devil's advocate, I can almost try to see what he's talking about, how he's putting these two extreme things together and being like, well, this is so fucked, it's similar to this fucked up situation. But the wording of it? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
If abortion is legal, rape should be legal?
No. Not at all.
That, like, I read that at lunch today, and I was just, like, permanently in a bad mood. I was like, how? How can anyone think that? And they're not from, and I'm going to sound like a douche, but they're not from, like, I don't know, Tennessee or West Virginia or
yeah.
Some fucking ass backwards place.
Under the
this
Bible.
This guy's from Maine. He's from Maine.
Jesus. Is he a white supremacist, too?
I don't know what he is.
just to add insult to injury. I don't know. Are you a pro-life person or a pro-choice?
Pro-choice.
Same here. Yeah.
Because... if for nothing else, the number of children that are waiting to be adopted is way too high.
Yeah.
And it's devastating. It makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Those numbers of kids that just don't have anyone that wants them.
Yeah.
You know, and I know myself, if I were to get pregnant, like today, I am in no position to have children. I couldn't give the kid up to someone else.
Yeah.
Because I'd know that it would just sit in a fucking orphanage.
Yeah.
I couldn't have a kid right now. I can't have a kid right now. And I should be given that choice.
Yeah.
Because I shouldn't have to be subject to having to have this child if I don't want to have this child.
Yeah. I know Kate and I have talked about it. We've been together for almost 8 years, and we've discussed this. And
you got to talk about the worst case scenario. What's your plan B?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've had scares, too. I mean, before she was on birth control, Kate and I have had scares, and we...
You're raw dogging it. I get it.
This is back when we were like still in high school too. You know, we thought about it, and it was scary to think about. But it had to be. There was a few days when we had to like really consider.
You don't want to think that.
No, you don't.
You don't want to think about that at all.
Hell, dude, I'm 24 years old right now, and I don't want to say I can barely take care of myself, but I've still got the mentality I had when I was 18 years old.
You just learned how to tie your shoelaces, okay? You can't be tying someone else's shoelaces.
Exactly. Kate, okay, so earlier, the friggin' cat had shit on his ass, okay?
He did.
And it's been there for a couple days, because it was a task to clean him, okay? And I texted Kate about it, and Kate just goes, well, just think, one day you're going to be doing that for a person. And I just thought back, I'm like... I don't want to fucking think about that.
Yeah, it's weird.
No, I have friends that are, you know, in the same age group that I graduated high school with that have two kids now, married two kids.
Yeah.
And here I am, not even wanting to think about marriage, not even wanting to think about kids. I'm thinking about, okay, when I'm done doing this shit, I'm going upstairs and I'm playing video games for the rest of the night. Because that's the mentality I have.
It's not in the cards right now, and we shouldn't be subject to having to have this because someone else decided what I should do with my body.
Yeah.
And what's funny is it's mostly men.
Why is it?
Who decide what I can do with my body.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, feminists. You, not even really, not the ones who are making the decision.
Yeah.
It's mostly, it's like predominantly men who are deciding something that will never, ever affect them. On a personal level, ever.
Is it going back to, like, that old school, like, the way things used to be, where men were in charge and women weren't allowed to have any sort of decision-making or any sort of power?
What it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, things have evolved in the last 100 years.
Yeah, a lot.
This is, like, wait until we have, like, a female president, you know?
I can't wait for that.
We have a black president already.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
But can we go on to some lighter news?
Yeah, let's take a break and play some promos. This band Alt J just announced they're coming out with a new album at the end of the year. They have this new song called "Hunger of the Pine" that NPR just released this past week. The big thing about them is they released their last album, and I think that was their debut album. Yes, it was their debut album. An Awesome Wave came out in 2012. Really took off around this time last year, and a few months ago their bassist quit.
Ooh,
and it was a big
sucks.
Yeah, it struck a big blow to the band, and they have actually not replaced him. But
really,
yeah, they're just a trio now. The bassist, very distinct bassist. He's one of those. It was one of those sorts of things where you lose this guy and the whole sound of the band is going to change. So a lot of the hype surrounding Alt J's new album is what it's going to sound like without this bassist. And this new song, I heard it just before we started recording the show, and I really liked it. It's very ambient, and I think let me double check this. I may be full of shit. Yes, they are. They are sampling Miley Cyrus.
What?
Yeah, they sample Miley Cyrus on this song.
What?
Yeah. They sampled 4x4.
Oh, okay.
Osiris. So this song is called "Hunger of the Pine." It's about Alt J. We'll come back with more chatty womp 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 womp.
Don't fuck it up, because if I have a good take and he likes it and you yell word cunt, he's going to be pissed off and punch you right in the moob.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus.
My fellow Americans, it has come to my attention that some alleged radio shows are trying to tiptoe across our internet, trying to leech off our bandwidth and listeners, and I, for one, am sick and tired of it. That's why I brought together two real radio hosts, Punchy and Hammy, two men who did things the right way. Brains to Radio, Fridays, 8 till 10, only on More Like Radio. We, the people.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Access Podcasts. Access Funny Podcasts. Access Hilarious Podcasts.
You should have listened to the Shy Kids. You should have listened to the Shy Kids. You should have listened to the Shy Kids.
The Shy Kids Podcast, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on morelikeradio.com.
We are the Shy Kids.
See it right there. It's done. Theme song.
Are you a fan of the Talk Radio Meltdown page on Facebook?
No.
God damn it. Never mind. Never mind.
Oh my God, fine. Fucking tell me about your stupid page.
Never mind.
God damn it.
The Talk Radio Meltdown page on Facebook has all of the important stuff that you need to know about the show, including updates about new episodes, as well as show prep, photos, videos, and other good shit. It's just stuff from Reddit and BuzzFeed.
Yay, repost. OP's a faggot.
Facebook.com/Talk Radio Meltdown. Become a fan, or like it, or whatever the proper terminology is these days.
Facebook.com/Talk Radio Meltdown.
TalkRadioMeltdown.com.
That's our website. We post stuff there.
All brand new episodes of the show will be posted there. You can also download every single show we've ever done. Plus, you'll find everything you need to know about the show, including links to our social media pages, photos, video content, and our iTunes page, TalkRadioMeltdown.com.
Talk Radio Meltdown presents Chatty Wampus,
featuring Jack Gill and Nicole Mossy.
Welcome back, everybody. Chatty Wampus, episode 14. Jack and Nicole, I made some new music beds finally for the first time in like a year. This is from Against Me's new album, newish album, Transgender new-ish. Dysphoria Blues, as Laura Jane Grace wrote in response to, basically in response to herself coming out as transgender, the artist formerly known as Tom Gable. I you know, we were talking earlier about like just really controversial issues and stuff, and I was asking you about like being like pro-choice and all that stuff, and you know, I make a lot of jokes, you know, we everyone on the show, we make a lot of jokes about just stupid shit, but one thing I'm really in support of is the transgender community.
Yeah,
like I think they're fucking awesome. Like that is seriously, that's, I mean, again, this is me being stupid, but it takes a lot of balls to go out and
get rid
and,
of your balls.
Yeah. I mean, especially for someone like Laura Jane Grace, you know, it's a public figure.
It's big thing, yeah.
She's a celebrity, went and did something that's probably one of the most stressful things that someone who's in that state of mind has to go through.
Yeah.
And she's doing it, and she doesn't care what people think, and she's got a lot of support, and I think it's awesome. I think transgender people are probably the coolest people alive.
Yeah, I know a transgender person, and I knew them before their transformation, and I know them now. And I remember when, you know, he decided that he wanted to be him, there were a lot of people who, in confidence, came to me and were like, oh my God, this is so fucked up, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? This has nothing to do with you. Whatsoever.
Yeah, that's them.
At all.
They think it's weird, and that's their way of trying to voice it. It's like
they get angry and they get offended over something that, again, like I was talking about before, influences them in not at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't influence them whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I can't understand that.
There's a
why should someone else's well-being and happiness be put on hold because of what someone else thinks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was this girl that I knew back, it was probably back in high school. She was, she lived in Maine. She was she's the daughter of a woman that my dad went to high school with. He had like this high school reunion party at my parents' house. So I met this girl, you know, my age, gorgeous in my opinion. She's very hipster. Like,
okay.
She was, I thought.
That's your style. That's what you like.
Yeah, I developed the biggest crush on her despite, like, only seeing her that one night. But, like, we kept in touch on, like, AIM and through MySpace and stuff. Yeah, well, this is 2005, you know, 2004, 2005. So, maybe about a year after after that party, my parents, for, I think, my 16th birthday, took, we all went out to the, I think it was the fucking museum in Boston. I'm blanking on the name. The Museum of the Art Museum.
Oh, like, there's a couple museums. I'm
blanking on it, but yeah, we went there and saw her again, and she had changed.
Yeah.
She was wearing just this really, this really tattered fucking looking hoodie and sweatpants, and her hair looked like mine. It was shaved entirely.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell happened? Because she posted on MySpace, you know, she had a couple of pictures, and I knew she had sort of like a pixie haircut going for a while, which
okay
too short for my liking, but it's still all right. And then I see her and it's like, okay, what's going on? And we had a good time. It was just like you know, a year prior. Don't see each other again, and then we kind of just stopped communicating. Come to find out that she was a lesbian.
Okay.
And I think I honestly might have been one of her like last attempts at trying to find a hetero relationship.
A suitable.
Yeah, and I kind of blew it in that regard. But yeah, it turns out she's a lesbian. And then we go to farther down the road and find out that she didn't want to be a female anymore.
She identifies as a man.
Yeah, and I don't think I think we were friends on Facebook. I'm not sure, but last I checked, she was legally a man.
Awesome.
She has a male name now, obviously. It wasn't one of those. I'm not gonna say her name, his name, but it wasn't one of those interchangeable sort of things. It's not like Jack to Jackie. It was a very or like Tom to Laura. It was a very
Tom to Laura.
It was more like a Tom Laura, I should say.
How are those names similar?
Sorry, I should have said she basically did the like the Laura to Tom.
Okay.
So, and she or he rather got, you know, cosmetic surgery, all this different stuff. So, it was weird, but I support him. I keep wanting to say her, but it's because, you know, I knew her.
You originally
personally.
Knew him as her.
We never met in person after he came out, but like it's just so weird for me, and it's just the change. Just think about change. It's not me being negative. It's not me bashing this person. For me, it's just weird because personally, I knew this person as a female, as she, and now she's a he. It's just weird for me to think of that. I'm sure if we ran into each other in person, like, and it's like now, I give him a big fucking hug and tell him I've missed him and be like, dude, you look fucking great.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same. I know it's the same exact person.
Absolutely.
There's in my mind, there's nothing different
there. I mean, exactly. Because that's exactly what you said. There's nothing different. Yeah. They're a dude, but I mean, you met them, you became their friend.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that they're a guy now.
Yeah. They're the same. They're probably the same person as I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time,
although,
15 years old when we were
hormone
friends.
Therapy is fucking astounding.
Yeah.
It is, like, I just, from a science point of view, I just get astounded because this person that I know has undergone hormone therapy.
Yeah.
And the voice is just booming.
Yeah.
It's so cool what something as simple as hormones can do.
Yeah.
Can do for that kind of transformation.
Look at Chaz Bono, man.
True.
I'm looking at, like, I forgot what Chaz Bono looked like when he was Chastity Bono, and I was looking at pictures of back then, and I look at him now, and...
It's completely different.
Well, considering there's also pictures, you know, Chaz Bono running around with his shirt off, it's like, oh, you're a woman at one point. This is... Now, that's a little weird.
But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, yeah. Anyway, trannies are awesome.
Oh, they are. They are. Yeah. You can always... I'm trying really hard not to be insulting, but you can always tell in the case of like Chaz Bono when you go from female to male and you have the breast reduction, you can still tell those were female breasts at one point. You can just see.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen those pictures. So I don't really know what you're talking about. But
like the person I was just talking about had a picture on Facebook after he had his surgery. Yeah. Or I think it was about a year after he had his surgery, but it was a picture with him and his shirt off, and he had the happy trail going. He had some hair on his chest, and
that's hormones. Yeah, like, how cool is that?
You could see a little bit of scarring, but you could also kind of tell too. I'm like, those were tits at one point.
Do you think you're seeing that because you knew that they were once a female?
Yeah, or it might be that it might, because again, like I said, I only knew this person as a female.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't like, I mean, the tits were about, you know, as noticeable as yours, I recall.
So non-existent.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, yours have shape, okay? It's very plainly obvious that you have tits, okay? So that's just how I remember this person, and I see his picture, I'm like, well, I guess I can cross seeing you topless off my list, but...
Check.
But it's, I mean, he looked awesome, don't get me wrong.
Great.
I mean, to anyone else, be like, oh, dude, this dude is ripped. It's like, to me, it's like, that was a female. Like, I just got to tell myself, I'm like, there was a change that happened, and I got to, you know, I got to recognize the change now.
I think it's fascinating what we can do.
It really is. Yeah. Because think about, like, 200 years ago.
That shit was never possible.
No, it
never.
Wasn't. No.
Not even remotely imaginable.
It's difficult as all hell, I imagine. It's probably painful, too. But, We got a few minutes left. Surprise! We've just gone off on these like very serious tangents.
Do you want to do something lighthearted?
Sure.
Tracy Morgan's in fair condition.
Good.
He's getting his personality back. He's becoming more aware.
He's gonna have a long road to recovery, though. It's taking this long to upgrade him from critical to fair.
That's an amazing step.
It is. Yeah.
You know, so that's really great.
Yeah, just now we need to see just how much this really has affected him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people were saying that his personality is coming back. I mean, he's definitely not 100%.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a huge thing with Tracy Morgan is his personality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just depends
on. It's a great step.
Yeah, it just depends on, like, because I don't think they've really indicated just, besides the leg injury, just how bad. He was affected by
this. Shit.
Yeah.
Rib shit.
Did they mention anything about like head trauma?
I don't believe so.
Oh, here we go. Broken ribs, broken nose, broken femur, broken leg.
So yeah.
No head injury.
Which, you know, thank God, because.
If he's in a wheelchair, I mean, shit, dude. Who cares?
He's still fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
He's Tracy Morgan.
He'll probably be funnier in a wheelchair.
He could do something like that.
Yeah.
He really could.
Yeah. He's like me in the sense that he would just kind of assimilate to his ailment and just have fun
use
with it.
Use it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I do it all the time. Yeah.
But,
I was actually thinking today, too, like, if I ever have to go out for a job interview, do I tell, like, you know, if I... Say I make it to, like, the second interview, you know?
Yeah.
When do I tell them that I have MS? When do I tell a new employer?
You tell them when you're filling out your paperwork for the HR person.
Okay.
That's when you tell them.
All right.
Don't have that be part of your interview at all.
Okay.
Because that's not something that's defining you.
Yeah. Because
I have something and that's between you and, you know, your doctors.
Yeah. Because I've, you know, I luck out now. I have bosses that are in full support. As they should be. You never fucking discriminate against someone who's got an issue like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
A condition, I guess. But they're in support of it. They'll help me out if I need it. But I always see things on Reddit where people are always like, I'm going out for a job. There's this one guy, because I look on the multiple sclerosis subreddit all the time. There's this one guy that basically he posts a lot since he got diagnosed about having MS and everything. And one thing he mentioned was he was going out for a job interview and he was concerned about what I just asked. When is the appropriate time to tell a potential employer that you have MS? Because he doesn't know if this is going to affect him in the long run. I know for me, ever since I first got sick, I really haven't had any issues that prevented me from doing my job. Like, yeah. I think I might have called out like once, maybe twice, just on like an off day, a day where I wasn't feeling good.
Who fucking doesn't?
Exactly. But I've never taken, aside from when I was in the hospital, I've never been like, hey, I can't come in for 2 weeks because my left hand or my right hand feels a little weak, you know?
But any employer knows that shit can happen.
Yeah.
People can wind up in the hospital, but that should never, you know, the fact that you have a condition, that should never hinder your chances of getting a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever.
I will work and continue to work until I'm dead.
Yeah, me too, because we can't fucking retire.
Well, I went to work the day I got out of the hospital. I did my job with one hand that night. And I told the
Are you bragging now?
Yeah.
You did your job one-handed?
Yeah, because there's people out there like, I stubbed my toe, I can't come into work for a month.
That's
like,
this kid. Like, that's me.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, dude. I went into work and worked with one hand after being in the hospital a week, paralyzed. Like, I can do it, you can do it, you'll be fine. Yeah. You know? Like, if I was blind, fucking, I'll make do. You know?
Oh, I can't imagine how rough it would be to be blind.
Yeah, I was actually questioning that the other day. My desk at work, you know, get my little all the cubes have numbers on them, like cube numbers, and there's Braille underneath the numbers on the little placard.
Yeah, there.
And it's like, what? I don't get Braille. I just don't get it. Like,
I don't understand it at all.
People developed a sense of, I mean, I guess the sense of touch is more heightened because your
other senses are, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I can understand that and everything, but I'm looking at all you just see are just bumps.
Dots.
Like, I'm sure I my cube number has two similar numbers in it. Like, I think there's like a 5-5 or something like that, or a 2-2 or me, I don't know. But it's I can see the Braille, what I'm assuming is the 2-2, because they're both in the same direction.
Yeah.
That's the extent of it, though. It's like, I guess you have to be really well educated on that language.
That's not what I think about, though. I think about all of the things that I love and how it's all visual. Makeup, fashion, hair, all these things that I really, really value.
Yeah.
Would go out the window.
Video games.
Yeah.
Hell, man, I work in video games. Yeah,
can
the
blind
internet.
People use the computer? Would they want to?
I think there's like assisted. There's some sort of assistance in there. I mean, if they're really interested in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know with that. I honestly don't know. That's something scary to think about.
Isn't it? Yeah. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, fuck.
Take your eyesight for granted, man.
Eyesight I have.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
How much time do we have left? I got one last thing.
Yeah, we got time.
Microbeads. Have you ever heard of those?
Yeah.
Do you know that there's been a lot of controversy with them because they can get through filtration systems? Microbeads are commonly found in things like face wash or toothpaste. For me, I have microbeads in my face wash.
Yeah.
I know this for a fact. I buy it because it has the microbeads, because it exfoliates my face. It's gentler than the St. Ives apricot scrub, for example, because it has like chopped up, I don't know, pits in it, like fruit pits, which will actually cut your skin and increase your chance of getting an infection, i.e. zits. So that's just dumb in general. But yeah, so microbeads, a lot of the companies that are coming out with these products, Procter Gamble, L'Oreal, et cetera, are deciding that they are going to do without these microbeads. And it was actually a really easy decision for them to make. It wasn't something that they needed to go to court to determine that they needed to do this. They elected to do this just because it was the lesser of two evils, kind of, and they can find alternatives.
Yeah.
Like sea salt or like I said, the fruit pits, which is awful idea. I like sea salt, but
this is a recent thing too, because I've only heard about this in the last like maybe week or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I just read this article today where they said that they elected to. And it's going to take a little while for the old products to get off the shelf and for new stuff to come out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, microbeads are going to be gone. I'm kind of sad about it because I really like my face wash.
Yeah, but...
But I don't like pollution.
Yeah,
so.
See, I mean, what's the way you look or the way the world looks? Think of it that way.
I care more about how I look.
Of course you do.
You know.
I care more about what the world looks like.
Oh, another thing about how I look. There was a woman in London who did this demonstration where what she did was she simulated on herself what animal testing is like. So they had her... Like, they had, like, this guy in this white coat pry her mouth open and inject stinging stuff to her eyes and putting creams all over her face and shaving part of her head and simulating everything that happens to animals testing.
It's like rape.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what animals go through with the animal testing for cosmetic products.
Yeah.
Or for all sorts of stuff like that. It was a kind of like a shocking thing because that kind of stuff is behind closed doors. Now, if you saw anyone doing that to an animal, you'd flip the fuck out. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Is that going to stop me from buying certain products? I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't now.
See, that's something perfect if Kate were here to bring that up with her.
Well, one of my favorite brands, NYX, doesn't have animal cruelty.
Yeah.
And actually, England is big because a lot of the cosmetics they have over there, they can't have animal testing on products. They will not sell those products in that country.
Yeah.
America's very different. So a lot of the stuff, if that bottle of shampoo, if that tube of lipstick does not say animal cruelty free, you know they put that on a fucking beagle.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's just
that's it for me. That's all the shit I brought.
That sucks that they use animals for that stuff, but
how else are you going to test it?
Yeah.
And this is going to make me sound really insensitive, as awful as the Holocaust was, as awful as all of that experimentation was, look at how the medical field is doing now because of those things. If you want to make an omelet, you got to break a couple eggs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that means someone's going to suffer.
Yeah. Human sacrifice. But there are other people, though, too, that volunteer for these things, too, the studies.
Exactly. So. Let's have it tested on humans.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hell, you get a couple bucks from it, people could use the money.
Yeah, if it's something that's really life-threatening, they should be like, look, we'll support you for life if we think this is going to have, like, lifelong effects on you.
That's a lot of money.
It is, but it's also, you know, I think it'd be, for the purpose of science, for the purpose of medicine.
Where are you going to come up with that money, though?
Prostitution.
I am for prostitution. This is a very serious episode.
This is. I'm scared.
We got deep.
We did.
We got balls deep in that conversation.
Okay, this, and then we got a vamoose.
Vamoose.
Shatty Wampus.
The end.
There's one thing, and it's a good thing I have this music bag.
What's vamoose?
Vamanos?
Oh, it's Vamanos. That's what I thought it was. You said Vamoose. Vamanos.
No, I got...
Vamanos.
I got, like, permanent dick throat, so...
Okay.
I've been sitting here trying to, like... I keep, like, muting my mic and turning my head away from the mic to breathe in and cough. I guess YouTube is launching a ad-free music service that requires a fee. Like a subscription fee. I guess kind of like Pandora. But there are a lot of bands that won't be featured on this because, you know, like Vivo?
Yeah.
Vivo has ads. Any band basically that doesn't use, or any musician that doesn't use any sort of service like that is not going to be included in this. And I guess Adele and the Arctic Monkeys are two bands / musicians that soon may not be found on YouTube.
They have Vivo.
I don't know.
Or maybe I just look at the official Arctic Monkeys thing. Oh my god, I love Arctic Monkeys!
Well, according to this, I'm looking at this on the Huffington Post right now, but it says there are a lot of bands that aren't happy with this service and YouTube's new policies regarding this. Because I think basically, since people are uploading songs and stuff to YouTube all the time, they want to actually try to cash in on this. So... they're imposing these rules and deleting music videos from bands that aren't taking part in this, and I guess Arctic Monkeys is one of them.
Yeah, but they have an official YouTube page.
Hey, if they're not subscribing to what YouTube wants to do, then they might not have that page anymore. Well, it was fun. We had a good 7 years with YouTube.
Right. I fucking love YouTube. Half of it's for the music.
Yeah, I know. I only really use it for music if I just really need a song but don't care about what the quality is.
That's yeah.
On YouTube, it's extremely heavily compressed in a very small file size, very, very low bit rate. That's why I actually don't mind paying $5 a month for Spotify, because at least then I can get some high quality music out of it.
Something you can use, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, well, we'll be back next week, I think, pre-recorded again.
Why? I don't think I have anything going on. We'll see.
I don't know.
We might be live.
We might be. I don't know if I'm doing... That's the only thing. I don't know if I'm doing anything.
Yeah, I know.
Kate's usually the one that keeps my schedule because I can't fucking ever remember. I asked her about seven times the other day, what am I doing Friday? What am I doing Friday? Because I'm working overtime. I worked overtime. Okay, time of recording, I'm saying I'm working overtime. I'm just going to assume by the time the show aired that I actually worked overtime.
You have worked overtime.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's it with that. Okay, bye.
Bye.